So, if you were going to have a superpower, what would it be? What would your choice be? Expanding time?
Flying?
Yes, flying around? Sorry? Invisibility. Oh, note to counsellor. Yes, any others? What would your superpower be? Alter ego. So who are these the alter egos for? Bruce Wayne is, of course, Batman. Tony Stark is... He is Iron Man. Selina Kyle? Catwoman. Bruce Banner? Incredible Hulk. Clark Kent, of course. Superman. And who is Diana Prince? Wonder Woman. And Victor Fries? Close. Calder. In the wrong sort of way. Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze. And Orono Monroe. Or Orono Monroe. Storm. These. So, would you want to control the weather like Storm? Would you like to move things with your mind like Jean Grey? Bend time like Doctor Strange? Have X-ray vision and be able to fly like Superman? Be able to heal yourself so many times that you would in effect be immortal like Deadpool? Well, it may be a bit fanciful to imagine what we might do if we were free from the normal constraints of our human bodies. But the reality is, we are all limited. We are finite. And yet, if we have faith in God, is eternal life a possibility? And what if we could time travel like Doctor Who, to go back in time and see events in history for real? But as the Doc warns Marty in Back to the Future, you must not see anybody or talk to anybody. Anything you do can have serious repercussions for future events. No doubt we could have lots of pointless discussions about time travel. We may think about time in different ways. We have all the time in the world. Time flies when you're having fun. For that moment, time seemed to stand still. President JFK said, "For time and the world, do not stand still. Change is the law of life, and those who look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future." Our lives revolve around time. As one author put it, we live between an unchangeable past and an unknowable future. A poem. I never have time. I never have enough. I'm running out. I'm always rushing. I'm always wasting. Are you busy next weekend? Are you doing anything right now? Do you have time to grab a coffee? I'm busy. Sorry, I don't have time. Maybe another time. I hate time. No, I hate society for time. No, I hate society for stealing mine. As time-bound creatures, we cannot really imagine any kind of experience or reality that is not defined by time. The very concept almost overwhelms our rational capacity. That's a quote from one of two books I found quite helpful in preparing for today. It's a book called God Alone by Jonathan Griffiths, and another book I read was The Attributes of God by A.W. Tozer, and I'll be drawing upon those. Our God is never ending. He is eternal. As we just heard from Isaiah, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself, is the rock eternal. Deuteronomy. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are everlasting arms. Psalm 90. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The God of our Bible is infinite in all his being, infinitely loving, infinitely powerful, infinitely just, and infinitely merciful. He is without constraint, without confinement. God never began to be. God was. God didn't start out from somewhere. God just is. There never was a time when God was not. No one said, let God be. Began is a word that doesn't affect God at all. Time cannot apply to God. C.S. Lewis put it like this: if you can think of eternity as a pure white sheet of paper extending infinitely in all directions, then think about a man taking a pencil and drawing a short line on that piece of paper. That little line is time. It begins and it moves a short distance and it ends. It begins on the paper. It ends on the paper. So time began in God and will end in God. And it doesn't affect God at all. God is an everlasting now. We are creatures of time. We live in the yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But God Almighty sits in an eternal now. God does not have a past or a future. God has yet no yesterdays and no tomorrows. The Bible says, Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But it's not his yesterdays, it's ours. He can't have yesterdays and tomorrows, because yesterday is time and tomorrow is time. But God surrounds it all, and God has already lived tomorrow. Isaiah 46. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. God is able to see everything. Another writer put it, God has no beginning, end, or succession of moments in his being. God is creator and Lord over time, yet he sees all moments in time equally vividly and chooses to act within time. This distinction between time and eternity is not something we can pin down very easily. Another writer had a go at it. Consider the difference between a river through which water travels and a lake where it's held. We experience our own existence in time as a river. Time flows, and we only see or touch part of it at any given moment. For us, time is never static. And as Isaac Watts puts it in his great hymn, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past, time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly, forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening day. For God, the whole of history is more like a lake or an ocean. He can see and comprehend the whole in a way that we can never do in our finite existence. It's all there gathered at once before his eternal gaze. As Job said, how great is God beyond our understanding. The number of his years is past finding out. God has no beginning, no end. So we cannot possibly measure how old God is. God is self-existent. He has always existed. Revelation 1, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the beginning and the end. Unlike us, God does not look back on the past with nostalgia or regret. He's not consumed by presents or troubled by waiting for the future. He sees all of time before his eyes. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by or a watch in the night. Psalm 90. And yet, as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, God has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We need to grasp this idea of eternity if we're to live wisely in our world. Psalm 90 again. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God is eternal. No one can escape God. We can't escape God by denying him, because he'll be there anyway. We can't escape him by redefining him into something else, because he will be there anyway. We're so focused on the present, on our immediate needs and desires. But as we look upon the eternal God and hear his promises of a life to come, of a new creation in which we will live with him, our eyes are lifted to see the bigger picture. His promises teach us to say no to the brief pleasures of sin and to the idols of this world that will fade away. Rather, let us serve the eternal God. In John chapter 6, Jesus said to the 12 disciples, "You do not want to leave me, do you?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And because God can see all things at once, he can see all of us, including our future. When he calls us and accepts our repentance, that's not dependent on our future performance. As Charles reminded us last week, it's not as though he might change his mind if down the road we fail him. When he saves us, he sees our whole future. He knows what we will do and what we will become. And despite all the future failings that he knows are yet to come, he still pours out his love upon us. When we trust ourselves to the eternal God who doesn't change, who is the same now, who holds the end of time in his hand, we know that our future is secure and we can stake everything on his promises. Here is our security for time and for eternity. Here is our refuge in the storms of life, our sure and steadfast hope. We know the one who is eternal and whose arms beneath us are everlasting. That eternity of God gives us confidence. Jeremiah 26 again. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. And as verse 3 puts it, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Our relationship with an eternal God means that we can be kept in perfect peace. Good circumstances might help us to enjoy our temporary feeling of peace, but only God can actually provide complete and lasting peace. The eternal God, who alone is perfect, is the only reliable source of peace. And thankfully, God is willing to give that perfect peace to everyone who decides to trust him to provide it. That perfect peace is much more than simply the absence of stress and anxiety. It's a deep and abiding knowledge of being loved and cared for by God, no matter what. Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And John 17 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is that we know God and Jesus. Having that personal relationship. And as such, eternal life is more about quality than quantity. Yes, okay, we can think of the happiness, the satisfaction, the freedom, the confidence, the comfort, and the humility that come when we come to faith. But eternal life is not really associated with years. It's independent of time. Eternal life can function outside of time and beyond time, as well as within. Eternal life is something we experience now. We don't have to wait for eternal life, because it's not something that starts when we die. It begins when we put our faith in Christ. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John 3. Although God exists outside of time, he still chooses to act within time. Ever since the beginning of time, God has intimately interacted with his creation. He used his own words to form it. He provided food for every living creature. He established a relationship with humans. He gave good, loving, and wise commands to follow. And of course, he sent his only Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The eternal God came into the world in the person of his Son, who gave his life to pay the debt of our sin, that we might be set free from judgment and released for an endless future, a future of joy with him. He is our dwelling place, our refuge, and our eternal hope. If God was not eternal, there could be no eternal life for us and no certain future for anyone. We would become nothing. But because God is eternal, we can look forward to the time that is to come with a calm peace. The God who inhabits eternity wrote eternity into our hearts, so that even though we may die physically, we can still live eternally with him if we trust in his Son and believe in what he did for us. Amen. Father God, we thank you that you have put that sense of eternity into our hearts. Lord, help us to look up, to look away from the things that trouble us in this world. Help us to have that bigger picture of eternity and to know that if we trust in you, then we can spend eternity with you. Amen.